W-E-E. I can't hear myself.
The mics are a little goofy today. You know what it is? They got hyped for the game last night. They're tired like the rest of us today.
Okay, maybe it's my headphones. W-E-E-I-F.
There you go. I can hear you.
Now I can hear myself.
Lucky us.
Now I feel like one of those singers when their ear things go out and it's all freaked out in the crowd and the speakers. But we're back on track here. It's 3 o'clock. The beautiful aroma of Lucky Energy is in the air. That means Ted Johnson's here and is prepping for his three-point stance. And it's that time. Stiz, three-point stance time.
319!
319!
319!
319!
Yeah, there you go!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three! Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pastrnak! A hat trick! And a 4-3 Boston lead!
WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it is time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. So we lost a headset, and now we lost a microphone?
Yeah. That microphone could use a little Northeast Men's Health help.
This seat is jacked. The chairs, the equipment, a little jacked up right now. But we will persevere. We will overcome.
Damn right. Just like the Celtics, baby.
That's it, man.
We will fight through. As part of our three-point stance, this is brought to you each and every day by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, like getting hit by a pen when other co-hosts want you to hang up on a caller, you got to get Glassman. Don't worry, Ted. We brought that into the 2 o'clock hour. We were throwing it against the glass here in the booth.
I heard.
And you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Andy, would you like to use your voice or would you just like to emote on that?
I was just showing my number 7 jersey.
It's a good
to
number.
Twitch listeners.
It's a good number. It's a good number. Okay. Great. It is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. We have three hosts, each of which will present their stance on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports, sometimes beyond. Each host will get 60 seconds or thereabouts to present their opening stance on their story of the day, after which we will open up for discussion on each and every one. Our order is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy-Stevens, then Ted Johnson. Andy, in your number 7 jersey, you will lead us off, and are you ready?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Your 60 seconds. They start right now.
I know this is hard for you guys to believe, listeners to believe, everybody to believe, but I don't always see the optimistic side of things.
What?
I tend to be a little cynical. And right now I feel out of place in Patriot Nation because that schedule came out last night and everybody is optimistic. And suddenly I've realized that, and I don't know when exactly this happened, that a 4-win football team, a team that fired its coach and changed, so many players on the roster this offseason. Ted Johnson keeps a list how many games and years of experience have been sent packing.
Yep. Over 50 now.
Somehow that team is now the most overrated team in the National Football League. My buddy Taylor Kyles at CLNS, optimistic guy, the opposite of me. 13 wins he's predicting. 13 wins is a lot for people named Mahomes and Brady. Never mind for somebody named May who has 1 win on his record. People are giving out easy victories over the Raiders. People say 10 wins is easy. Even Vegas sets the number at 8.5, potentially above 500 team. Boy, do your Patriots get overrated quickly this offseason.
Nick, would you like to put a voice to that message you've
scribbled?
Don't hate the player. Just
sit
hate
down.
Me.
You suck.
What's the opposite of a homer honk? We need that.
Yeah that's
no,
true.
Honestly, no. The Price is Right. The Price is Right losing horn. Fum, 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 fum.
It's Heart. Adam Jones. It's Adam Jones' voice.
No.
Just play something from Jones.
That's
actually when this came into my head. I'm listening to Jones and Keith do their 60-second rundown of the Patriots schedule.
And what did Jones say?
Oh, my God. Jones is on board. He's got them as a 9-8 wild card
because
team.
Rich Keefe has been able to unlock the positive. Lord. Meanwhile, you get in a room with people like myself and Ted who look forward to life, the sun, our next meal, family time, and you're like, oh, God, this is terrible.
Just giving away victories like they're candy on Halloween.
Okay, first of all, let me remind you that teams that lead free agency spending often experience a bump of at least 3.5 to 4 games. That would make the Patriots an 8-win team. Last year's team, on top of being, yes, a 4-13 boob squad, was certainly a little bit better than they were led to be because the coaching was so terrible. So if you add Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels and Terrell Williams and company to that squad, you could get one extra win plus the 4 wins that you get from a good draft and free agency. That's 9-8 right there.
I love how we just add wins for random reasons here. They are everywhere.
I'm presenting facts.
Dan Ball.
What's wrong with facts?
Would you like me to jump in because this disagrees with your point? Or
no, we're not
you
supposed to argue
rules?
until everybody does their points.
Now, today's the first day we're following the rules, folks.
I'm going to throw a pen at myself.
Please do.
Okay, we clearly will be discussing that in a few moments, but in the interim, Fitzy, I will ask you as we continue on here with the three-point stance, are you ready to present yours?
A joy, an honor, and a pleasure, sir.
If you are able to hold in your other stance of Andy sucks and all of his takes suck, then your other 60 seconds for your points start right now.
Well, my revisionist take was going to be that Andy Hart sucks, and I was just going to say it over and over again until my time was up, but instead I'll go back to my original point. Dear Boston sports fans, dear Boston sports media, dear sports personalities, and sports consuming America at large, please do not take the cheese, the bait, or the low-hanging nonsense that is, oh, the Boston Celtics, look how good they look last night without Jason Tatum. They don't need him. They're a better team without him. Yeah, like the text line said earlier, Jason Tatum, more like Jason Tatum. Get rid of him. They're a better team without him. Has anyone ever stop to think that maybe they may have won it for Tatum, that maybe everybody reached down to their depths as professionals, as men with pride and talent, and played extra hard last night because they took such an emotional gut punch the night before, that maybe, just maybe, they decided because they didn't have a star to lean on that it was they who had to bring forth extra effort in a game. And they can continue to do it, and God forbid if they do it again, that maybe they'll be able to play this kind of ball when Tatum returns a year from now. Don't take the bait, everyone.
The bait that was presented just after 2 o'clock here on this show by microphone number one.
That's
don't
right.
take
Host,
that.
Host one told you.
He did.
Don't take it. Don't do it. That gives us the reputation we do not want in this town.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you. I'm done.
All right.
Appreciate you.
Onward we go.
Go Celtics.
To Ted Johnson.
Yes.
And Ted, I ask of you, my friend, are you ready?
I'm ready, buddy.
All right. Your 60 seconds begin right now.
All right. So last night, the schedule comes out for the Patriots. I was very, very excited about this. I was when I played. I loved to see what the schedule kind of shook out. And then some of the, you know, just the things that would, you know, as a player affect me and, you know, that I wanted to think about. And so there's a lot of kind of good little nuggets that come out of this schedule for the Patriots this year. And this is, if you're a player and you're looking at the details of the schedule, you're looking at it closely because you want to know just little things that might help you and benefit you. And those are, one, is that they only play one game on short rest. That's big. That's a Thursday night game. They have three games in which they have a long rest, which is excellent. They play only five games versus playoff teams from the 2024 season. They play teams, the entire schedule is a 4-29 winning percentage of the 2024 teams. That gives the Pats the third easiest schedule based on last year. They play 15 games in the Eastern time zone, just 15, only two, and then two in the Central, none on the West Coast. They open and close the season at Gillette. They have a week 14 bye, which I love, and the schedule gets harder as the season goes on, which is better in terms of you want to see the team getting better as the season goes on. So I would think you have a better chance to beat those tough teams at the end of the season as you would at the beginning. There's a lot of really good things from this schedule that favor the Patriots.
Ted. I like
Teddy. Teddy doesn't think they're overrated, right?
Yeah,
sounds like you think that schedule is set up to win some football games.
I do.
Yeah.
I think it's set up. That for sure. I mean, I can give you. I did. I've already gone the win loss down.
We're going to do that later. Save that for later.
So I can tell you what I think. Okay.
But you seem like you're more on the optimistic side of things than I am.
Just looking at the schedule, it's. I don't know how you wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, all the players watched and they're looking through the same things that I'm looking mm-hmm. for, and they're all feeling. I told you. I think yesterday I factor in external factors more when it comes to winning football games, where a lot of people will say that shouldn't matter. All the travel, what time you play, what you know, who you played the week before. I factored all that stuff in, and so I think it very much favors the Patriots.
Uh-huh. See, he does not think they are overrated, Ted.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Damn. I did.
Yes, sir. Let's stick on this point of overrated versus properly rated versus underrated, because the trend that we talked about from free agency into the draft has now shown up once again. With the schedule release, where people were giving the Patriots their flowers, deservedly so, for their free agency acquisitions. They're giving them their flowers for what happened in the draft. And now, once again, you're seeing, we just got audio from Adam Schefter. We're going to play that in a little bit, where he's saying the Patriots are going to win more games than we realize. We'll play that later. We have Kay Adams' audio where they're talking about that. So let's talk about the idea of being overrated. Andy, I'm just going to ask you on your three-point stance as we do some tech fixes in real time.
Yeah.
Why does the term overrated, why are they the most overrated team in the NFL according to you right now?
Because I think it's hard to win double-digit games in the National Football League. I don't think you just roll out of bed and win 10 games. Almost anybody, regardless of who you are, talent-wise, coaching, continuity, some of those things. So for a team that turned over oh so much in the offseason, roster-wise, coaching-wise, you know, offensive coordinator, like so many changes, for them to just roll out of bed and be considered one of those double-digit teams. And that's what I was seeing everywhere, Ted. 10 wins. A lot of people predicting, doing the win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. And
you,
like,
you give you mine or no? Are we saving it?
I mean, if you seem excited.
I'll save it.
No, you seem excited, nope, so I feel it. Like it's going to have double digits.
Nope, it might. Tune in.
Okay.
We'll see.
But I think a lot of people, and I think what really set me off was the opener. Right out the gates, everyone goes, oh, you beat the Raiders. And I'm like, you might. You're at home, so I like being at home to open the season. Raiders could be a decent football team. They have a good coach, right, that they bring in Pete Carroll, they feel like they've upgraded coaching-wise. They bring in a veteran quarterback in Geno Smith that they probably think is going to win some games. They have, you know, you're excited about your left tackle, fills a hole. They have a running back that I think most people believe could be the offensive rookie of the year, could be one of the best rookies ever. And they have stars on both sides of the football.
So we're going to go game by game?
No. I'm just saying people were just going, oh, you beat the Raiders. I heard people say it just like that, like move right on to week two.
Okay. Oh, no, it's going to be a game.
Without even considering that could be a dogfight and a very losable game. Very, very losable.
On last night's Six Rings and Football thing, schedule release preview, where John Lyons joined me live at 8:15 at halftime of the Celtics game, he said it was going to be a loss. His record prediction for them was lower. He thought that would be a great game. I think we all think it's going to be good theater, good gridiron theater, sure, to open the season, a lot of great storylines. He had that being like a Raiders field goal win.
Okay, and I appreciate the
objectivity
of John Lyons. A lot of people are just penciling that in. And then I see a lot of people that the either-or games or the maybe games, I don't know what you want to call them, giving them all to the Patriots, and I don't believe that. I think if you put a game in that category of, like, it's winnable, but that's going to be a dogfight, could go either way, you split those right down the middle. If there's eight of those, you give four to eat, you know, four wins, four losses,
okay,
whatever it may be. And I see a lot of people just kind of going, oh, it's a dogfight, but they'll win that.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
What do you think, just the division? Just how do you think the Patriots will play the division games this year? What's their record against the division?
So I think you lose two to Buffalo. I think you split with Miami, and the Dolphins ones will be the deciders to me. Probably the home
split
Dolphin
with Miami, you said, and then
I mean
what about
split
the Jets?
With and the Jets. I think you might split. I don't think you're light years ahead of the Jets.
Split.
Yeah, I think it's a very splittable. Like I go back to
so 2-4. 2-4 in the
potentially, but it's hard to say because they usually beat the Bills. Even when I don't think they're going to beat the Bills, they usually steal one from the Bills somewhere along the way. So if you use that optimistic mentality, you can say, they always steal one. The flip side of that is they always lose to Tua. Tua owns them. So it's like, do I just assume
Belichick,
Miami is going to beat the Patriots? Because I don't know.
So I'm just curious, but you do have a win-loss prediction coming up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so I'm curious how you got to it. We'll work through that and bang through that.
Absolutely
curious about that.
But okay. Even the number that Vegas is now putting out, the 8.5, is a pretty high number for a team that's won, you know, four games back.
Are they
back
the same team? Can I ask? Are they the same team?
No, not at all.
They have been gutted.
They've been changed more than any team, and I think that's tough to do in football. I think that's really tough to do.
Do you think that's maybe a reason why they have the win totals at 8.5?
I think they're taking the optimistic side of all those things. Like, everything's going to fall into place. Drake May is going to be a great year two quarterback. Josh McDaniel's going to be a great offensive coordinator.
Stiff,
Mike
bum.
Vrabel's going to be a great head coach, not Hack. The one that got canned in Tennessee because he lost way too many games. Like, a guy who's never been the defensive
coordinator.
Schedule. Like, easy schedule. Like, but they're taking the – it just feels like the bulk of the world is taking the optimistic side on every question surrounding your New England.
If I may, 508 texter here, Ted. Andy, this has to be a relative, a friend. Is this your son texting the show?
Well,
no, he doesn't, because he's a big fan. Andy is the only one making sense. I can't believe I just said that.
It's a good text right there.
Okay. I, you're not giving me really good reasons. I'll be honest with you.
In terms of what?
Well, I just don't know what your grand total is. Like, if you say 6 wins. Or
I think they're probably an 8-win team. And that means if things go bad, you're a 6-win team. And things go great, perfect, ideal, you could sneak 9 or 10 out.
Okay.
But I think they're probably around a just below 500 type team.
There's a lot of factors. You factor in, again, the schedule, all the changes they made in the offseason.
Yep.
If you looked at the combined records of all these teams from last year, I just told you it's the third easiest schedule. They only play 5 playoff teams from last year. And if you look at what's the number one thing when you look at the schedule in determining whether or not they're going to win or lose? What's your number one factor?
Talent.
Or else, how about just who plays quarterback for that team, right, the opponent you're playing?
Sure.
How many games do you think they have the quarterback advantage in, Ted?
They probably have them.
If Drake May's good.
And maybe.
Well, I'm just saying, if he continues what he.
I would say.
You're the biggest Drake May fan 12, in the world, but for the convenience of your games. Argument, he's like, oh, Drake May, man, what if this guy goes out there and vomits on his shoes like
he
Mason
did last
Graham
year at times? Like, he can't finish games with. Because I do think
what
there's
if
a
I
chance.
Always told you, what years when you're playing do you get the. You make the most improvement. Is it years 3 through 4? Is it years 7 through 8? Or is it years 1 to 2?
1 to 2. Sure. Right. But
you used to cite Peyton Manning, Andy. You used to cite Peyton Manning regularly.
I want Drake May to be great. And I think he has the talent. But I can't just assume or presume that a guy that seemed to turn the ball over or take a sack or make a bad play at inopportune times is going to completely get rid of that from year one to year two.
I just think there's enough evidence out there based on what they did in the offseason, based on the schedule, based on the quarterbacks, based on the coaches that have been hired or the teams that they're going to be playing against, based on all these factors to lean optimistic in this still. That's my feeling. And even 8 wins is still, comparatively speaking to last year, you double your wins. That's an optimistic viewpoint.
But that's my point. I feel like I'm being optimistic, and yet I'm not even keeping up with the pack of optimism. It's like everybody else is saying 9, 10, they're going to be in the playoffs. They're this. Oh, they'll roll out of bed and beat the Raiders. And I actually think people are doing a disservice to the team, because I think it is hard to win 10 games. And just presume a team with a new coach and a young quarterback is going to win 10 games. Sure. You're going to be disappointed. If I have 8 wins, I'm going to be happy.
It's interesting that you think you're taking an optimistic viewpoint, yet Vegas has the odds half a game better than what you're.
Yes.
So you're saying you're really, at the end of the day, taking a pessimistic view because you're taking the under on what Vegas thinks the win total will be.
Realistic point of view.
What was the win total last year?
Based on what exactly?
The win total was four and a half, I believe.
Okay, by the way, pouring in, boys, Patriots preseason optimism sounds like a lot of Red Sox talk in February, says the 978. 413, or you can crap the bed. There's been the same amount of sophomore slumps for quarterbacks as there have been progress. 508, our pal Dice, the mailman on the Cape. How do we always ignore the fact we're not even sure we have a good quarterback yet? Drake still is unproven. And how about this? Another 508 texter, Ted. Guys, do you understand other teams also get to improve their rosters as well? Those teams are probably looking at the Patriots as a 7-win team.
Well, no disrespect to the 508. Sure. I know what I see with my eyes. I know what Drake May's capable of. I know what he's. I know what the year one to year two is. I know what Josh McDaniels is capable of. I played with Mike Vrabel. I know him as a head coach. So I feel like I have maybe a difference. Viewpoint than maybe the 508 does when it comes to this stuff. Maybe not, I don't know, but that's my take on
it. I feel myself very much aligned with the text line for the first time ever. The text
so
line
it's me and Ted against you in the text line.
Seems to be.
Your main argument is, you know what, everyone else is taking such an optimistic view.
No, my main argument must be right is every single argument everyone's taking the optimistic view.
And with
your number
reasons.
One receiver is Stephon Diggs. I don't know when he's going to play. I don't know if he'll be on the team. They created a contract. They could cut him at any time. The left tackle is a guy you think has too short an arms to play left tackle, and you're penciling him for 17 games.
Nope, I didn't say that.
He's not going to get killed by Max Crosby on opening day to get Drake May killed and lose that game. Everybody is just – there's a graveyard – right past the graveyard. Yes, Dan Ball.
All right, gentlemen.
I think they should cancel the season, Dan.
I am going to
Nobody said that. I said
I am going
wins.
To jump in and say that we will continue this conversation. Everybody has their own points, whether justified or not. We'll continue that as we continue through the show. We'll also have Tom Curran to break it down at 4:30. But in the meantime, Andy, that is today's three-point stance.
Absolutely. We're going to keep talking Celtics. There's optimism in the air for everybody, I think, on that. I think that's the one topic we can agree on today. We're feeling good heading into Game 6 in New York on Friday night. We'll continue to talk Patriots schedule. It is out. We know when, where, how they're going to play, and we're all going to give our predictions on how many games they're going to win. But first, Dan Ball, give us what's trending.